"Perhaps we'd better go on," said Miss Keat, and moved towards the door. "And this," said the provost a moment later, "is the hypnopedic control room." Hundreds of synthetic music boxes, one for each dormitory, stood ranged in shelves round three sides of the room. Pigeonholed on the fourth were the paper soundtrack rolls on which the various hypnopedic lessons were printed. "You slip the roll in here," exclaimed Bernard, interrupting Dr. Gaffney. "Press down this switch." "No, that one," corrected the provost, annoyed. "That one, then. The roll unwinds. The selenium cells transform the light impulses into sound waves and..." "And there you are," Dr. Gaffney concluded. "Do they read Shakespeare?" asked the savage as they walked on their way to the biochemical laboratories past the school library. "Certainly not," said the headmistress, blushing. "Our library," said Dr. Gaffney, "contains only books of reference. If our young people need distraction, they can get it at the Feelys. We don't encourage them to indulge in any solitary amusements." Five busloads of boys and girls, singing or in a silent embracement, rolled past them over the vitrified highway. "Just returned," explained Dr. Gaffney, while Bernard, whispering, made an appointment with the headmistress for that very evening. "From the Slough Crematorium, death conditioning begins at 18 months. Every tot spends 2 mornings a week in a hospital for the dying. All the best toys are kept there, and they get chocolate cream on death days. They learn to take dying as a matter of course." "Like any other physiological process," put in the headmistress professionally. 8 o'clock at the Savoy, it was all arranged.